Blighty Thank God is based on the diary our family discovered my late father, Ron Chapman, wrote in 1943 when he was a young RAF pilot serving in the Middle East and Italy.
In this grave hour,
I'm Neil Chapman and a former journalist. The podcast highlights the stories I uncovered when I researched his diary along with other historical sources. In the midst of the bustle and chaos of the Sudanese capital Khartoum, there is a quiet, peaceful cemetery with manicured grass and sand-coloured gravestones. Amid the graves of Allied troops from World War II lie 33 pilots and aircrew. Many are from the same unit as my father, ferry pilots who delivered aircraft between West and North Africa. I know some he had flown with. All were killed in two plane crashes at Khartoum Airport within 2 weeks of each other in June 1943. Both flights were in American Lockheed Hudson aircraft, a plane my father flew. They were on a new service, the civil airline British Overseas Airways Corporation, or BOAC, had just started. Now, BOAC is a forerunner of today's British Airways. BOAC began operating the service on behalf of the RAF, but under sufferance. My father learned of the first crash 9 days after it happened on June the 16th. His diary entry naming two of the ADU, or Aircraft Delivery Unit pilots he knew, is read by granddaughter Caitlin.
June Wednesday, 23rd, 1943. Robbie, Beeling, Joe and I went to the Middle Easter show. Quite good. There was a bit of a shooting on the way back. Hudson in at Khartoum killed 15 ADU blokes, Tomchak, Crichton amongst them.
Making a shooting on the way home from a show sound normal. My father then starkly mentions the first of the two Hudson plane crashes at Khartoum and two of the colleagues killed, Tomchak and Crichton, men he probably trained with. After the crashes, families in England, Scotland, Canada, Australia, New Zealand and Poland would learn the devastating news of their loved one's death. For John Crichton's parents, Robert and Ellen of Scotforth, Lancashire, it was the second time in months they were told of a son's death. Both their children were now gone. 42-year-old Cyprian Tomchak was one of thousands of Poles who fled their country when it was invaded either by the Soviets or, in his case, by the Nazis. These Poles were fighting however they could. There are notable stories behind each of the cold gravestones of the victims. A recently decorated pilot, a musician who signed up to go to war, the grandson of a Victoria Cross winner, and a pilot recovering after being shot down. The first Hudson was on its final approach to Khartoum Airport. At about 800 feet up, the aircraft stalled and crashed in a huge explosion. It's thought the port engine cut out when the plane banked left with near empty tanks, causing fuel starvation to the engine. On June the 30th, the second Hudson was climbing after takeoff from Khartoum Airport when it stalled and spiraled into the ground. It caught fire. It may have been overloaded. The question my father's diary entry threw up for me was, were these men victims of two almost identical accidents, horrible coincidences, or was there something deeper going on? The tragic result of tensions between the civilian and military air worlds. At the start of the war, British Prime Minister Churchill knew North Africa would be a key battleground. But to move fighter planes there took an enormous effort. The supply route stretched across a vast distance and was complicated because it had to avoid German-occupied Europe and the Mediterranean Sea, which they dominated, along with the Italians. Pilots and planes were shipped from the UK to West Africa. These crated planes, made in the UK, were then reassembled in Takoradi, Ghana, when they were offloaded from the ships. The planes were then flown in a series of hops between primitive airfields right the way across Africa, up to Cairo, Egypt, a 6,000-kilometre journey that took about a week. It was known as the Takoradi route. The ferry pilots delivering the planes then flew back to Takoradi in civilian aircraft. At the same time, American equipment support, known as Lend-Lease, was ramping up. American planes were flown to Takoradi, and others were shipped to Port Sudan in East Africa. Moving the 200 or so ferry pilots between Cairo and Takoradi, or Port Sudan, efficiently was critical to sustain the vital supply of aircraft to support the North Africa campaign. Here's how my father's ADU identity card made it very clear he was not to be delayed by anyone unless for very, very clear reasons.
In order the necessary supply of operational aircraft to the battle areas is maintained, the holder must not be detained for any reason other than a serious breach of discipline. The holder may claim priority of passage on service or civilian aircraft over any service or civilian passenger. The holder is not to be employed on any duties other than those ordered by his own commanding officer.
Early in the war, the RAF was struggling to maintain the pace of aircraft up into North Africa. During 1 month, instead of 180, only 49 planes were delivered to North Africa. Churchill was not happy and kept close eye on how the operation was performing. But here was a business opportunity, one the charismatic Juan Trippe, founder of the largest US airline at the time, Pan American Airways, was keen to exploit. Now here's how Trippe was described by different US politicians.
The most fascinating Yale gangster I've ever met. Trippe is an unscrupulous person, a man of all yielding suavity who could be depended upon to pursue his own ruthless ways. He talked people out of money. He talked governments out of concessions. He is a very able man.
Pan American Airways took over running the Takoradi route that returned the ferry pilots for their next vital flight. But there were problems that frustrated military leaders. Khartoum could be a choke point. It's where flights run by BOAC and Pan American connected. But sometimes ferry pilots were delayed because of the lack of coordination between the two civilian airlines. After the attack on Pearl Harbor in December 1941, America was brought fully into the war, and Pan American withdrew from running the section of the Takoradi route from Khartoum back to Takoradi. Britain's Air Chief Marshal Tedder, in charge of the air battle in that part of the world, put forward the idea of a joint RAF-BOAC organisation to run air transportation operations in support of the war effort. But the relationship between BOAC and the RAF, particularly Tedder, was not good. For example, the RAF encouraged self-sufficiency and a we-can-solve-the-problem attitude. On the other hand, BOAC was more cautious, with operating decisions referred up the management chain back to the UK head office. In January 1943, BOAC's managing director wrote to Tedder expressing his concern the company was being forced to operate too many aircraft types, fly into unsuitable airfields, and was obliged to take on inexperienced RAF crews. Despite the protests, in mid-1943, BOAC started running the flights between Cairo and Takoradi via Khartoum. On June the 16th, the first crash killed everybody on board. A BOAC fitter on board survived the second crash but died next day from his injuries. The youngest victim was 19, the eldest 42. Out of the 33 men killed, 20 were pilots. The two Hudson aircraft were among 20 the RAF loaned to BOAC for the new service. After the crashes, BOAC used DC-3 Dakota aircraft. The Hudsons were withdrawn from service, but handed back to the RAF. And on July the 21st, 1943, this is what my father wrote in his diary.
Bags of a flamp and panic. Here we have two Hudsons in the flight. Condemned ones from a BOAC.
BOAC now had one less aircraft type to service, maintain and operate. On an inside page of the Lancaster Guardian newspaper dated Friday, the 25th of June, 1943, there's a headline, Local Roll of Honour, and it talks about John Crichton, called Jack by his parents.
Lancaster parents' second bereavement. Deepest sympathy will be felt for Mr. and Mrs. R. Crichton of Barton Road, Lancaster, in the death of their elder and only surviving son, Flight Sergeant Jack Crichton, who was 26 years of age and who has been killed whilst on active service with the RAF. His younger brother, Mr. and Mrs. Crichton's only other son, Sergeant Navigator Ronald Crichton, was killed on active service on November 30th last year. The tragic news was conveyed to them in a cable which they received on Saturday afternoon. Jack, who joined the RAF 4 years ago, had for the past 2 years been stationed in Cairo. For some time, he had not been engaged on operational duties, as he was on sick leave in Palestine, and in a letter received lately, he stated that upon returning from sick leave, he expected to resume flying shortly. This was only 10 days before his death.
There's a photo amongst my father's collection. A simple caption reads, Johnny before the crash. A young man has his shirt-sleeved elbow on an RAF truck window, tipping his tropical hat back at a jaunty angle. I believe it's John Crichton, taken when he and my father were relaxing during their time in West Africa. What I find particularly sad and poignant for Mr. and Mrs. Crichton is while their airman sons died within a very short time of each other, they are buried so very far apart, more than 4,000 miles. John's brother, Ron, is commemorated in his hometown, Scotsforth, Lancashire, while Johnny is in the graveyard in Khartoum, Sudan. To find maps, photographs, and other material associated with each episode, as well as the complete diary with my research notes, visit the website blightythankgod.co.uk. The diary extracts are read by Ron Chapman's 8 grandchildren. He'd be proud of all of them.